Welcome to Catholic Dad Show. Today, we are going to join our series on why grow as a dad.
So this is the first episode in this series, Why Grow as a Dad? And today we're talking about, like, just because our kids are watching us, that's why we need to grow as a dad. So Chris, you wanted to start off with this episode, this whole series, with dad fails.
Yeah, like what's a dad fail that comes to mind when we're talking about this? Because honestly, here at the Catholic Dad Show, we want to have authentic vulnerability. We want to be real about it. And we don't want to create this idea that the perfect dad is the right dad to be. I think the dad that we are, let's just take one step forward. That's the goal. And yep. So I wanted to start by kind of maybe sharing some fails, since it's our first episode ever, to let people know, like, we don't do it perfectly. And that's why we're here, to journey with each other.
All right. So hit us, Chris. What's your dad fail for the day?
For the day. Don't even get me started. But I need you to think of one as well.
Okay. While you're going, I'm thinking.
Okay, great. So I'm at the table, at the dinner table. And this is a couple of years ago. But boy, did it get the attention of my wife. And my daughter asked me for a fork. And I grab a fork. And I hand it to my six-year-old girl. And I say, here, fork you. And so she takes the fork. And she passes it to her sibling, saying, fork you, fork you. So in the matter of about 10 seconds, every child at my table, and we've got six kids, probably five at this time, but is looking at each other with a fork in their hand, yelling, fork you, fork you, fork you. So that was a pretty big dad fail. It was also a pretty good dad joke. So it was kind of like the combo, the perfect storm of those two things. What about you, Matt? Give me a dad fail.
Nice. Like, I think my dad, like a dad fail that I would have for this one, or like, is just laughing at the wrong things. And when you started talking about fork, it made me think of like my now 3-year-old who didn't used to be able to pronounce that word correctly. And she actually said the word that goes along with the saying you were saying.
And you have to try and get her to say the word fork as many times as possible once you realize that happens.
Yeah, because it's so cute.
Yeah.
But laughing at it, like all my older siblings are watching and like I'm impacting the way that they're like what they think is funny. And so I consider that a dad fail. But it's also just way like super cute and funny to have a 2-year-old cussing and not even meaning to.
Have you ever, because I know that the idea of kind of missing like the moment, emotionally connecting or whatever, have you ever laughed when one of your kids is crying?
I've definitely discounted. Yes. I mean, I've laughed when my kids were hurt. You know, and it hurt them worse.
Right. Like they were so emotionally frustrated with something and they're like, but they got 2 Cheerios and I only wanted 1 Cheerio or whatever. And they're just losing their mind. And you just start laughing at how ridiculous it is.
Yep.
And at the same time, you're like, this is really funny, but I just failed as a dad because now my son or daughter is hurt by the fact that they don't think I care about
them. I care.
Because,
Well, and I've had the same thing happen, like a similar thing happened. So my daughter had gone to her friend's house and apparently gotten into the makeup. And I didn't even think like twice about it or whatever. Like I didn't think that would be something that I would be like dealing with at that age. So she comes in, I'm sitting on the couch watching TV or something like that. She comes in and she goes, Daddy, look. And I turn around and my first gut reaction is, oh God.
Oh no.
Like, and she can see that I'm like disgusted by, cause like lipstick is just all over the place, all over her face, and nasty blush everywhere. And I was like, oh, this is not good. And so my gut reaction was, oh God. And I could just see like her little heart just like crack.
Snap
it,
like, in half.
It broke. Like I could see it. And I was like, oh no, recover, recover, recover. So that was another dad fail.
Good. I'm going to break the third wall. We want to hear from you guys. Go ahead and drop in the comments a 2-sentence dad fail that you've experienced. And we want to hear all the dad fails that you guys have had along the way. So today's
awesome.
Topic. Yeah. Dropping back to the topic, you guys. It's part of a bigger series, Why Grow as a Dad? And sometimes we have to question that. And I think a caveat in here is why grow as a Catholic dad?
Yep.
So we believe, and actually there's statistics that kind of back it up, that fatherhood is one of the most powerful forces in our world today.
Amen.
Not just in the faith, but in the world today. So fatherless children are more likely, children without active fathers. There's no such thing as a fatherless child. Let's just be clear. But children that don't have active fathers in their life, like they're more likely to enter into poverty or to be in the prison system and all these other pieces. And fathers who are invested in their children, even as early as 1 month old, make an impact down the road on what that looks like. And so why grow as a dad? There's so many reasons, and we want to unpack those kind of one at a time over the course of a couple of episodes. But again, that lends us through Catholic fatherhood, because we saw a need in the world that there was not a place where Catholic fathers could really grow, be refined, and thrive. And so that's why we're here. So so our first episode, Matt, is on...
Well, so the first episode is like, why grow as a Catholic dad? And it's because your kids are watching you, right? So we impact our kids in ridiculous ways because they're watching every little thing we do. And there is a... So one of the reasons why this came up recently is because I recently was shown or... saw the Rodney Atkins, sorry, wow, that was really good. The Rodney Atkins watching you YouTube video. And so this video is the basically the music video that goes along with the song Watching You. And I'm not much of a, like, I'd listen to country periodically, not a whole lot. But this song is one in, like, as cheesy as I have to, I mean, I cry at it a little bit. Like, I teared up when I saw it.
It was moving. Yeah. And just for the record, the song also uses the word buckaroo in three different places. And so you're like, how is this song hitting my heart so hard when they're like, I'm your buckaroo. And you're just like, this is so country, right? Yeah.
And it's so cheesy, you know, and, but anyway, the basic premise in this video is the very first scene that they show in the video is that the kid, like spills
riding
stuff
along
everywhere.
With dad in
He's
the
riding
truck
with dad in the car or whatever. And dad has to stop quickly. And so the kid's stuff goes everywhere. Like
he was eating a Happy Meal. Yeah.
It spills everywhere. And so the kid like yells the word S-H-I-T, right?
Well, he doesn't say that. He says the S word.
Yes.
And as a
then
country
it had four
song,
letters.
As a country song, it could have been senator or a politician's name or something.
I'm pretty
like
sure
that.
He said four letter word
he did.
That starts
yeah,
with
did.
S.
He did.
So.
Yeah.
So then he's like, where did, like, the dad like turns to the kid and like, where did you learn this? And the kid's like, I learned it from watching you, basically, is how that goes, which reminds me of that, the don't do drugs. Like, where did you even learn how to do this? I learned it from watching you, dad. You ever seen that? Anyway.
Yes. Any dad around the age of 40 is going to be haunted by the egg. This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs.
Yeah.
Like, some of those things were like, I have PTSD from Dare. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still afraid. But that's
so,
inside.
So anyway, so then like in subsequent scenes, like it shows that like it basically tells a story of the dad going into the barn and praying. And in the video, you see the kid kind of off in the corner watching dad. And so then later... The kid, like the dad is in the corner kind of watching the son, and the son gets out of his bed and kneels and prays. And the dad says, where did you learn how to do that? And the son says, I learned it from watching you. And so that's the reason why this particular episode is so powerful, is because we have, as fathers, as Catholic fathers, we have a huge influence on our kids for the positive and for the negative. And so the goal that we should have as Catholic fathers is having a lot. I mean, we're not going to get rid of the negative. It's going to happen, right? We're going to lose our tempers. We're going to do things wrong. But focusing on making sure that we set that positive example for our kids.
Yeah. And so the kind of line I think that would capture it is our presence is more powerful than our preaching, right? And so we teach with how we live more than we teach with how we have those big talks or those angry talks. And I want to let you know, there's something neat about children. They reset at night. Like I can be a bad dad one day and they go to bed and they wake up and they're like, dad, I love you. You know, and that doesn't happen as much as they enter into adolescence. But as kids, as children, like they reset overnight. So you really get a million tries to be a great dad.
Have you ever had the opposite happen? Like you put your kid to bed and they love you that like that night and it was such a great bedtime. And then when you wake them up in the morning, they're like, I want mommy. Has that ever happened?
My kids always want mommy. And then when I tell them mommy's not home, then they're like, okay, dad, you carry me, uppy. You know, like then you win when they're like, well, that's not an option. And they're like, okay, then I love you. But but like there's a couple of things in regards to failure, because I think sometimes journeying in this way, you can just walk away and feel like garbage. And we don't want to make people feel like garbage. But one of the things that we need to model that our kids need to see us doing is asking for forgiveness.
Yep.
Apologizing. And absolutely. So I've missed it. I've dropped the ball. I was insensitive or whatever. And I go to my daughters. I usually mess up more with my daughters, but occasionally even with my sons, like, I'm sorry. Like, daddy shouldn't have done that. He got too mad too quickly and shouldn't have handled it that way. Or he was too frustrated, insensitive, or too distracted with his phone or whatever it is. And you name it and you ask for forgiveness. And when my kids say this, I say, so I'm sorry. And sometimes I have one child that always says, that's okay. And I have to go, actually, sweetheart, it's not okay. Like, yeah. You deserve better than that. And I want to be better than that. So I'm not asking you to say it's okay. I'm asking you to forgive me. Yep. She goes, I forgive you, Dad. And then huggy. And it's wonderful. Life is good again. But that model, my kids are watching me mess up, but my kids are also watching me reconcile.
Yep.
And the bigger lesson there is the reconciliation piece, because that creates a pathway for growth. Because you said it the other day in a meeting, what's the greatest teacher?
Failure.
Failure is the greatest teacher, right?
Absolutely.
And so we have to make a pathway. When they fall down, they grow in strength. When they stand back up, we have to model what it means to stand back up.
Yeah. So our kids are watching us, whatever we do, good, bad, or indifferent. And so that's something that we as fathers need to just pay attention to regardless, like all the time. Our kids are watching us. And for me, like one of the things that's hard is like two things is one, like I'm almost always the first word out of my mouth is no. Daddy, can I? And I'm already like ready to say that no, like before they even like get it out. And that's not a good thing, you know, for my kids to always expect the answer no. Like one, like, so this goes on later, but like I'm giving an example of God. I'm setting that initial example of God to my kids. And if their like first response from their earthly father is no to everything, then right. That's going to affect their prayer life later.
Yeah.
Like whenever they go to pray to ask God for something, they're going to innately think, oh, like he's always going to say no.
Then why ask at all?
Then why ask, you know? Yeah. So that example we set is tough. But then also I'm lazy. If I'm sitting on the couch watching TV and my kid comes up and says, hey, Dad, can we go shoot hoops? I'm like, oh, I'll do it later. And it's like, that's not good. You know, that's just something that I know that I need to get over. And I'm, again, setting that example for them, because like that tells them that me and my time is more important than their time. It tells them that sacrifice is not good.
And in all fairness, your two oldest boys are now at the place where they can wipe the floor with you in shooting hoops. Yeah. He's got these sons and we got to play volleyball against him, and it was painful and so much fun. I'm like, holy cow, these kids can keep up with us adults. And then I'm like, oh no, us adults are having trouble keeping up with these kids. I mean, it changed in the matter of three plays and I'm like, oh, I wish they were on my team. So
yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. It was nice having the Rices versus the Bartlets. That was nice. Oh,
for sure. You wait until we get all the Bartlets there, because my 13-year-old is 6 feet tall and my wife played for Texas A&M. Thank you very much.
That's true. If it was the whole family, that might be a different story.
But one piece that I see, and this is something that I noticed, especially in my older ones, is like a piece of candy at the store, and they're in the checkout line. And of course, kids want to grab a candy. And candy is awesome. Like, sugar is a drug. Let's just be honest. But my oldest is like, no, that's too expensive. That's not a good value. That's a ripoff. And I'm like, and part of me is like, yeah, my daughter's learning. And it's like, oh no, she's like measuring everything. It's okay for like an 11-year-old just to look at a piece of candy and be like, I want that in my mouth. You know what I mean? Like, to be excited about eating candy. And instead it's turned into this whole like economy thing, because working for the church for all these years, I get super, super frugal. Some people say cheap, but there's a difference between cheap and frugal, and I'm not sure what it is, but I try and stay on the frugal side, not the cheap side. But nevertheless, that frugality has shaped their stewardship, and in at least some incidences, it hasn't been in a positive way. And and so sometimes those conversations about family vacations or different things that we're looking to purchase as a family and how we need to wait are great conversations to have with my wife without my kids around before we share it with the children as a whole, because then we can get some language better, because my kids are watching me.
Yeah. On that note, I got chastised a little bit by my wife last week, because you're frugal. I hate wasting food. I hate when my kids put too much food on their plate and throw it away.
Yeah.
So I make someone at the table finish it, like, or I finish it, or I make them finish it. And my wife was like, you're setting up really bad eating habits for our kids, like bad relationships with food for our kids moving forward. I'm like, really? How? You know, so then she described to me like how it was. And I was like, oh, so this is not necessarily the best thing for me to be passing on to my kids.
Relationship with money, relationship with food, it all is from what they're watching us. And really, I think about it, my dad always had to have some water left in his glass. He always had to have his glass like half full, because growing up, that anytime they had wine or different things like that in his father's, you know, my grandfather's context, he always had a little bit more in his glass because he felt like that was a thing of like, I'm prestigious enough to where I can walk away from part of a glass of wine, which is a weird kind of thing. And so that's I never understood that, but I made my son go grab it out of the trash the other day. He threw away. I'm like, where's your son hamburger?
Grab his wine out of the trash?
Yeah. I grabbed the wine out of the trash. No, where's your hamburger? And he's like, I wasn't hungry. I said, where'd you put it? He said, I threw it away. I was like, there's like seven other people in the house that would love a second hamburger and there's zero hamburgers left. You go grab it out of the trash. And I made him eat half of it. He's like, no, it's gross. It's in the trash. I was like, I'm not the one that threw the whole hamburger away. It's like, I took a bite. He took a bite out of the bun. He took a bite. He took a bite out of the bun. Give me a break.
All of the meat was still there?
Yeah, totally. But again, wow. I think we might be getting into the our kids instead of our kids are watching us. Yeah. But they're watching. They are watching the way that we're measuring them instead of just loving them, you know. Yep. And so there's a couple of bits of research that talk about fatherhood, and some of this is basic. It's basically like spend time with your kids, 0 to 12 months, be present, hold the baby, put the baby to sleep. Like all these things are really basic. Sing. Talk with the baby, you know, age 1 to 3 years, interact with the baby, go on walks, right? But all these things, like like entertaining a newborn lasts for about 40 seconds before they get bored. And you're like, oh my gosh, all my tricks are gone. It's been less than 2 minutes and now I'm exhausted. Yep. Like it's a really hard place to be, but just floor time and things of that nature. Dads play an important role. And all of this, spending time all along the way, and then you get to throwing the ball and spending time in the front yard and teaching them how to fish or journeying with them while they're, you know, playing dolls or have a tea party or all those different things bear fruit down the road.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that floor time and seeing that my dad is investing in me, that type of thing, leads to a higher salary. Lower engagement in regards to negative interaction with law enforcement and things like that. It leads to higher levels of education and higher grades. So if nothing else, spend time with your kids so they put you in a better retirement home.
So they'll be able to take care of you when you're old and decrepit.
Yeah, with some bling and some, yeah, with diamond hands. Yeah.
All right. So this is time. We're going to take a quick break from like talking about what we've been talking about. We'll come back around and talk more about it. This is time for us to talk about avoiding the millstone. So I don't know how many of you have read that gospel, the scripture, where it says it would be better for a millstone to be tied around your neck and be thrown into the sea than for you to lead one of these little ones astray. That verse has terrified me for years.
It should haunt you. avoiding. The millstone.
So we're going to do this segment pretty much every episode. So what do we want to highlight as far as avoiding the millstone right now, Chris?
Okay, great. So in avoiding the millstone, I want to let like the simple habits are the ones that dive the deepest, right? And so if the first thing that you do when you get home from work is disengage because you're tired, I would say that that might be showing your children that people aren't going to fill you up, right? That you should rely on self or something like that. If the first thing you do is go to your quiet place to pray and they can see that you're doing that, that's a different conversation. But the way that we interact and engage with people when we're exiting the house and when we're entering the home, I think is a great thing to be aware of. Because that is the first and last impression. In fact, there's going to be a time where they leave the home or you leave the home where you will never see them again.
Yep.
Right? Yep. Yeah. And God forbid something tragic happens. And the last thing you said is, I'm late for a meeting. Just clean it up. And you slam the door.
Yep.
Because I've done that before.
And this has been avoiding the millstone. Avoiding millstone.
Dun,
millstone.
Dun, 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 dun.
I can't do it like you can. I'm no good at that, the echo thing.
All right. I have a nasally voice. I mean, that's the trick. You got to have a slightly nasally voice. There you go.
All right. So as we've been talking, one of the thoughts that came to mind around all this was like, so I've been in youth ministry for years. And I was talking with one of my friends about this recently, and I have a knack of reaching those kids who are troubled kids, potentially into drugs, like not paying attention, not listening to anything they're saying. Potentially promiscuous, drinking, stuff like that. Those kinds of kids I get because that was the kid that I was. Like, that's who I was in high school. My kids are not like that at all. They are like, and which like I'm sharing with my friends, like I don't understand my kids because I didn't live like they're living. It doesn't make, like, it's weird for me to say it doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
For a teenager not to be, you know, obstinate towards his parents, for a teenager not to be drinking, not to be partying, not to be doing these things, it doesn't make sense to me. And so this all wraps up into this show because I was telling my friend, I was like, how is this even possible? Like, how are my kids like this? And she turned to me and she looked at me. She's like, Matt, like, you are a different person than you were when you were in high school.
Right.
And your kids, they don't know that guy. They don't know the guy that you were from high school. They aren't emulating him. They're emulating you.
Right.
They're following you now. And that struck me, you know, and that's kind of this, like, because our kids are watching what we do, how we behave, who we have become matters because they're emulating us now. And so that's, that may be even something for those dads that have a past, you know, to think about is like who you were in the past, like, does not have to impact who your kids are or who they will become. It's who you are right now that matters.
And it's interesting because the series that we're in is Why Grow as a Dad, but it could be Why I've Grown as a Dad.
Yeah.
And I've grown as a dad because my kids are watching. So yeah. The video games that I play, the music and media that I consume are different now because I know that my kids can see the watch history, the view history, the listen to the lyrics that I'm listening to. And so I've got to be real careful about that. But also when you start distancing yourself from some of those pieces, like a super violent video game or a song that has a bunch of swear words in it, like it just doesn't seem as attractive now that I have kids because I've got other music and I run to Elmo. 3 times a week. So I'm just saying, like, that's a little bit more. I'm not into Elmo. But I'd rather do that than listen to some of the angry rock that I used to listen to back in my late adolescent phase and into my college years and things like that. And so they have made me better because I know that they're watching me, right? Yeah. And my kids are going to know what books I read unless it's on a Kindle, but they're going to know what books I read because they can see the titles on the bookshelf. Yep. And so it's got to be books that are going to be, I'm proud of reading and I want them to be proud of reading. You know what I mean? Yep. Yeah. So they improve us in this way. And it's like kids are a gift. Kids help boys become men. Sometimes. Sometimes when my son busts out the Legos, I become a boy, you know, and delight in that reality. And there have been times where he's doing a build and I'm like, no, bump him out of the way. And I finish the build and I'm like, take that. Like, this is so much better. And then he's over in the corner. So anyways, whatever. But in so many ways, our children help us by watching us, help us grow. And it's not accountability. It's more inspiring. Like, I want to be the person. I want my daughter's future boyfriends to be ruined by the fact that I love them so much more.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, I can't even compare it. Like, oh, you're so beautiful. And my daughter's like, I know. And I love you. It's like, I know I'm loved. My dad tells me that like 3 times a day. What are you trying to do? What's with the music? Just why are you putting gum in your mouth? Like, go away. You know what I mean? Like, I want that reality to change our family tree in a positive way. So,
yeah. And as dads, I think most dads like want to be a better father than their father was, even if they had a great dad, that they want to like keep raising that bar. And we do that because our kids are watching us, you know, like your kids are watching what we do. Watching who we are, and that's how we continue to move that bar up. We can actually influence like how good of a dad our kids are going to be starting right now.
Yeah. So just a story about that legacy. I was once a kid. And as a kid, this was back in the 80s when briefcases and just kind of going to work with all that stuff, it was so important. And so my dad got this nice brown leather briefcase. Like, it was expensive, right? And I ended up getting smiley face stickers from somewhere. And I put 3 smiley face stickers on his briefcase. Like,
uh-oh. These,
I know, like, this is a leather briefcase.
were not, these the kind of stickers that don't come off very easily?
They do not come off very easily. So he tried to, he tried to peel one off and it wouldn't. And to this day, right, they just moved to our area about a year ago. To this day, I saw the briefcase again and it still has the smiley face stickers on it. And I'm not joking, because he used that briefcase. He went to work meetings and all those different things. Like, he was never just a professional. He was always a dad anywhere he went. And it says so much to me in the way that I father my children. I'm reminded that it's okay if there's stickers on your briefcase. It's okay if your life looks like it has the fingerprints of kids. It's okay if I'm a dad at mass and my kids are being loud and I have to step out and miss a little bit of mass so that I can share God's love with my child to help calm them down in that moment. Like, let those stickers stay on your briefcase. It was just a beautiful witness to me.
Awesome. That's great. Well, guys, this episode has been brought to you by The Village. The Village is a place for us dads, our Catholic dads, to spend some time, like, getting to know each other, to talk about stuff like this. It's a safe space for us to have conversations about, like, how to grow as dads. We're going to take some of the questions that we've gotten here, answer them in The Village. We'll answer them, of course, here on this channel as well. But we want to send the dads to The Village. So you'll have a link to that here at the end of this video. And anything you want to say about that, Chris, about The Village?
Yeah, absolutely. So The Village isn't just a place for dads. It's also a place for moms as well. It's essentially a place for Catholics seeking to grow as parents. And so this is all a part of our Ablaze Families kind of approach to really leading people closer to Jesus and helping people to raise saints, which is ultimately what we want to do as parents. And so it's not just for you, but also your wife. There's a spot for her on there as well to be able to kind of journey with other Catholic moms as well. So check out The Village. Where would they go? What's the website?
The website is actually ablaze.us/thevillage.
It takes a village, you guys. And the action item for today is just to take a minute to reflect and not the avoid the millstones part, but like, what is one thing you do that you hope and you pray that your kids will do as well as they grow? What's one way that you want to continue to grow into that area that you're already doing so well that you want to see your kids doing? And go ahead and post that in the comments below as well. I want to see my kids pray every day because I pray every day, or whatever it is. We want to see you engage with us. Awesome, you guys. We will see you next week. Our episode, or we'll see you at the next episode. Our episode 2 is going to be focused on what, Matt?
Good question, Chris.
Dang it, I'm pulling it up. I'm trying to find it. I've got so many tabs open.
Episode 2 is going to be focused on because society needs us, because the world needs us. So Okay. Make sure you click that subscribe button and hit the bell. The more people that subscribe to this, the more people will see it.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. I'm Chris.
And I'm Matt.
And we're a couple of Catholic dads seeking to change the world.